Today on Real Radio.
Chapter 20, verse 7 of Exodus, it says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain."
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher, Pastor Jack Hibbs, continues in his topical series on the Ten Commandments. We've already explored the first two commandments, which deal with having no other gods, whether physical or imagined, before the true Creator. Now we're taking a look at commandment number three, which says that we're not to take the name of the Lord our God in vain. Now what exactly does that mean? Well, it does go far beyond uttering it as a swear word, as our teacher demonstrates. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Matthew chapter 5, Exodus chapter 20, and we're looking at tonight the third commandment in God's Ten Commandments. And we understand from previous studies that the Ten Commandments have been given to us, number one, to declare God's righteousness. Number two, to show man God's holy standard. And the Ten Commandments are actually, rather than the word commandment, the Hebrew word means 10 precepts or 10 acts by which man would flourish if he would obey them. Now granted, listen, from the very, very first commandment, and we looked at that in detail, that we are immediately convicted by our inability to love God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. As soon as we become aware of that, the Ten Commandments go into the mode in which Paul the Apostle tells us was the original giving of them by God, and that is to bring every person that ever reads the Ten Commandments to the knowledge that they cannot save themselves. Church, listen, the Ten Commandments cannot save any human being. It was not given to save someone. If somebody tonight is saying, if I'm just good enough, I think I'm doing pretty good, then I can earn my salvation. Impossible, says the Bible. You can't even keep the Ten Commandments. You can't even keep the first commandment. And as soon as you see that, you see your great need for God. That's why, by the way, the reason why the Ten Commandments is such a hotly contended issue and subject in American life today. Our liberal system doesn't want the Ten Commandments posted. You want to know why? Because Satan doesn't want them posted. You want to know why? Because it convicts you and I. Because if we look at our neighbor to lust after him or her, that's not right. If we want to steal our neighbor's lawnmower or car, that's not right. If we want to have some idol-worshiping system of our lives, well, that's not right. You begin to look at these things, and you begin to see how bad you and I need God. And the Ten Commandments displayed causes a nation of people to say, wow, I guess I just can't pull out my gun or knife and kill somebody because thou shalt not murder. Well, tonight we come to the third commandment. But first, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus put his stamp of approval on the commandments of God. He says, verse 17, "Do not think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." That's what Jesus thinks about the Old Testament, by the way, to fulfill it. It's godly, it's holy. Verse 18, "For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass till all the law is fulfilled." Exodus 20, verse 7, now the third commandment. And this is now the third commandment, and it is once again a vertical commandment. This is the relationship between man and God. The commandment one, the commandment two, the commandment three, all of them vertical. That is an upward direction unto God. Soon we'll get to the horizontal commandments. But look at chapter 20, verse 7 of Exodus. It says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." In vain. Do you guys remember, before we dive into this, by way of background, do you guys remember how in the opening of this study I talked to you guys about how each of the vertical commandments had a correlating horizontal commandment? For example, the first commandment related to the sixth commandment, and the second commandment relates to the seventh, and the third commandment tonight relates to the eighth commandment. And so take a look. Just look a little bit down to the eighth commandment. It's right there in verse 15. It says there, you shall not steal. You say, what does that have to do with each other? Why do the Hebrews think that that correlates? Oh my goodness, it does very much. Exodus 20 verse 7 says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The word take means to walk away with, to grab and to go with the name of the Lord your God in vain. You're not to take his name away, take his name out into the world in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And then you shall not steal, to take away. Isn't that interesting? You shall not take, listen, God's name and steal it away from its intended purpose and use it, listen, use it to approve or to stamp your personal life and your personal faith. You are not to do that. You are not to make something up and then have God's stamp of approval on it. That's what it means there in the context of taking God's name in vain and stealing. It's very interesting how the Jews correlate those things together. And I think that is a powerful point. You shall not take of someone else's possession and make it your own. You and I have no right to take the name of God and do anything else with it except for that which God has given it. Interesting, powerful stuff. And so this lofty third commandment, we've all heard about it, we've all thought about it. What's interesting is what you and I have in our minds right now is just a small fragment of its great meaning. You know, when you listen to people talk, and we all listen to people talk, when you listen to people talk, you will either come away with being uplifted from their conversation or torn down, huh? I had a grotesque, and I underline grotesque, I cannot share with you that on Sunday afternoon when I got into New York City, New York, the governor had overridden the will of the New York people and violated democracy, violated the Constitution of America by the whole election process, and said that New York, the state of New York, is now recognizes homosexual marriage. And as soon as that happened, the streets filled up with people doing the most lewd and perverse acts in broad daylight in the public squares. Unbelievable. And the language of things. Have you ever been around people where they're either saying something or doing something, and after hearing them, you feel like you have to take a shower? Oh my goodness. Then have you ever been around people where they speak and you know what? I want to hang out with them more. They're encouraging. They challenge me. They make me want to walk straighter and jump higher and run faster as a Christian. You know, it's just wholesome. It's great. It's excellent. You feel good about that stuff. And you and I live in a culture right now where good is spoken evil of, and evil is not only exalted, but it is approved of. We live in a tremendous time, a dangerous time. But when you listen to people talk, it really matters. Just as your vocabulary when you speak displays your intellect. A person, you know, the company I used to work at before this home Bible study got out of hand, and I had to quit that company. I'd been there 13 years. We had to sign an agreement. We had to sign an agreement that on company time and on company property, we would not use any foul language. Everybody had to sign that. It's amazing. Why? Because that corporation prided itself on intellect and education. When somebody's spouting their mouth off and, listen, taking the Lord's name in vain, though it does mean that, but that's not the thrust of its meaning, it's defiling. It's degrading to the hearer. But when someone's cussing, they just cuss. It displays their lack of intelligence. Because why? What's inside comes out. If you've been educated and you've got words, the words will come out. If you have not been educated and the words are not in there, then your emotions grab whatever you've been taking in, and whatever you listen to is what's going to come out. And so you hear people say, hey, how you doing? Beep. And then, okay, well, beep. And how about this? Beep. And it's like, what's he talking about? I mean, the guy just said 40 words and four of them are English, or four of them are printable, you know. So it's pretty bizarre. Yes, the Bible does mean, yes, this verse means that when you speak, you should not be saying the Lord's name in vain. That's culturally how you and I look at it, but that's not the bulk of its meaning. Now listen, if you're taking notes tonight, jot this down as we begin to go through this. The word take, as I mentioned earlier, is the word nasa in Hebrew, and it means this, to not take the name of the Lord in vain. It means to pick up and to carry. It means to accept or to receive. It means to advance, to arise, or to bear or carry forth. You shall not pick up the Lord's name, carry it forth in a vain way, in a bad way. Yes, it means you are not to cuss, but it means far more than that. Number one point, church, jot it down tonight, it's this, the third commandment. It matters how we take up His name. If we're going to take up His name, it really matters. And the first thing is that His name can be cursed, obviously. His name can be cursed. When someone picks up and carries the name of the Lord, what do they do with it? The tragedy is, yes, His name can be cursed. It's amazing to me that God allows it. He's patient, He's long-suffering, He's kind. People are using His name as a curse word all around the world. But the Bible certainly means that you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Colossians 4:6 tells us, let your speech always be with grace. Christians, listen, tonight we should be a people who, when we open our mouths, there's graciousness with our mouth. There's graciousness with our speech. So this is the challenge tonight in our third commandment, that from this time on we are going to speak and we are going to do in a way that carries up the name of our great God in a holy fashion. Tonight I want you to think of yourselves draped, as it were, in priestly clothing. And you know how the priests would bear up the Ark of the Covenant and they would walk with that Ark? That represented the presence of God. Well, now we don't have an Ark. We don't need an Ark. We don't want an Ark. We, in a sense, listen, we're an ark in a sense. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. We are now the temple of the living God. And as we go through this life, think of yourself tonight being veiled and draped in righteous white gowns, as it were, the righteousness of the saints. And listen, we need to start acting like we are. We are to speak life into people. We are to live a life that others want to emulate because they see that your life's not a curse. And I tell you, it's very, very dark. It's a dark time, yes, indeed. But all the more for us to be shining at a time that is so very dark. Number one thing, yes, His name can be cursed. And that's a tragedy, but it happens. But for the Christian, Colossians 4:6, as I mentioned, our speech is to be seasoned with grace, seasoned with salt, He says, that you may know how you ought to answer everyone, each person. What an amazing call for us. So how you and I speak and how we live, because that's the true meaning of this third commandment. It's not just what you say. More importantly, it's how you live. We create an environment. Around us, we are exhibiting or creating an environment of peace or anxiety. You know, we read from psychologists and sociologists that atmosphere and environment affect how a child thinks. You know, if a little kid's growing up around a home where people are freaking out all the time, the little kid's going to grow up to be kind of freaking out all the time, learning how to worry. A lot of our problems as people tonight is that we need to focus on our Heavenly Father and our new godly family that we have in Christ, because so much of us, listen, so much of what you and I struggle with is what's called learned response behavior. You and I grew up, and for example, if our parents dealt with pain or fear or aggression or whatever with alcohol, when we were little, we saw that happen, and we began to think in our minds, that's how, and a little kid knows this, that's how you deal with a problem, you drink. And so you're not an alcoholic. You don't have to drink because your parents drank. You're not an alcoholic chemically. It's not a disease, as insurance companies would want you to think. It is a learned response behavior. Now, can it cause a disease? Of course it can cause a disease. But listen, Jesus breaks that in our lives. In my life, it was none of that stuff. My dad didn't do drugs. My mom didn't drink. There was none of that stuff in our home. But my dad dealt with things with violence. You know, somebody said something, and the next thing you know, somebody's picking the guy up off the floor. My dad taught judo in the Marines. It was not a good combo. But what's your thing? That thing from the past that hangs on. We need to be very, very wise in understanding a lot of our actions we've inherited from how we were brought up. It doesn't make us guilt free from that, because we've done the same things now. We need to repent of those things. We need to ask God to forgive us of those things. But understand this, how we speak, how we live, the environment that you and I create causes those around us to either grow up peaceable or filled with anxiety, loving or hating, having a propensity to do good or to do evil. This is a very important thing. The wonderful and the awesome thing now is that we're in the family of God and all that changes. Are there struggles? Yes. Do you fight those things? Yes, but thank God there's a fight now in us to go against those things. There's a strange thing going on in the world around us right now when we talk about his name, that it can be a curse. People make it a curse word. And there's just a strange thing going on in the, I don't know what you call it, the altered Christian culture that we're going through right now. A lot of young people today think that they can be a Christian and cuss, that it's cool, that somehow it's going to cause people to come to Christ if you're a Christian and you cuss. That's insane. That's nothing but a beguiled attitude, thinking that, well, I don't have to change. I can accept Christ and still be the same person. I can do this, and I can do pot, I can do sex, and put a Jesus label on it, and I'm cool now. And a lot of young people are being told that in pulpits that I think have been sold out and compromised. And I want you to know right now that the Bible tells us that we need to have our speech seasoned with God's grace and seasoned with salt. God will honor that. Young people, tonight, listen, God will honor your life if tonight you'll say, you know what? I'm going to hang up the words of the world and I'm going to follow Christ. I'm going to let my words build people up. Any bonehead can cuss. But God changes that. And of course, we all know that out of the abundance of the heart, the Bible says the mouth speaks. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt words proceed out of your mouth, but what is necessary, or what is good for necessary edification. When you speak, build people up, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Don't you love that? Look, you were sealed with the day of redemption. That word sealed is amazing. You guys know what the word embossed means? To be embossed, stamped. If I were to take this ring and put wax on your head and push the ring into the soft wax, that would have an insignia on your forehead, and it would mean that you are owned. This is you are a bought, purchased possession, and you're under the ownership of someone. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit has sealed you until the day of redemption. Isn't that great? You're owned. You walk around and you're owned by God. God has got his stamp on you. You belong to the living God. And that you don't have the opportunity, the right, or the liberty to open your mouth and have your bowling words come out of your mouth because it's not edifying. Well, you know what? I'm walking with Jesus, but you know, those are my golfing words. No, listen, Jesus is on the golf course too. Okay, you can't have it two ways. The Bible says don't do that. The next thing we see is that it matters how we take up his name in this world. The second thing is this, his name can be rejected. We all know this. His name can be rejected. And when we talk about his name, we're talking about the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D of God, the Yahweh or Yah. That's his name of God. That's who he is. That is him, his name, and nature. Yah, the Bible says, is the God of the Bible. Did you know that? I hope you know that. That is awesome. You better know that as a church here. Yah is his name. I pride myself. I was talking back in New York last weekend, and one of the points in the message was the fact that we, of all people on the planet, we don't call our God God. He is God. That's who he is, but he has a name. The Lord, Yah, is our God. That's his name. He has a name. And that's an awesome thing. Who is your God? Yah is my God. Yahweh is the Lord, my God. That is the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that great name can be rejected. The Bible says in Psalm 68:4, sing to God. Listen, you're going to have an opportunity soon to sing to God again tonight. And I know for some people, I don't get it, to be honest with you. I'm starting to really get in the flesh about it, I think. Either I'm getting in the flesh about it or I'm really getting in the spirit about it. But a lot of people think that music, the worship of God, is something that you can either come late in on or as soon as it starts, get out early on. And I want you to understand something. God is the one right now, according to the Bible, the Holy Spirit is using the gift of teaching right now to speak his truth into our lives from the Word of God. Then listen, that's what he's giving. And then in a moment, we're going to go back into worship again. And it's our, the believer's opportunity to give back to him. And listen, God blesses us with sunshine. God blesses us with this weather today. I mean, today, it feels like Hawaii outside today. He blesses us with that. Did you stop and thank him for it? Did you eat today? You know, maybe I'm getting older. Maybe I just sense the end of the age. I don't know what it is. But have you been to Vons or Ralph's lately? The grocery store and walked through the produce aisle? I did that last night. You know, we had to take a field trip. We had to just shut the service down right now and go on over to Vons. Can you imagine? And you walk. We have bananas, and then we've got the little pygmy bananas, or what are those little bananas? How many kinds of tomatoes do you want? How many kinds of apples do you want? You want a Valencia orange or a navel orange or some? Or you want a Florida orange or a California orange? You want nuts? Oh, we've got nuts in California. Hey, it's everywhere. We are so blessed. And just like this, I don't get it. Listen. God blesses us, and then it comes time to worship him, and we go, I'm slipping out. That's a sense of rejecting him. The believers to worship him. The Bible says there in Psalm 68, we're to sing to God. It says that we're to sing praises to his name, extol him who rides on the clouds. Oh, man. Why do I say, oh, man? Because coming back from New York, we're over the Midwest, and we were at 41,000 feet, getting the snot shaken out of us. We were hanging up, oh, the plane's going everywhere. Why? Because there were mountains of clouds above us. And the guy's just going like this through these canyons of clouds. You could look down, and I was just going, God, thank you. And it's so great being a Christian because people think they're going to die. And you're on there, and you're just like this. People are hanging on, and they're going like this and stuff, you know. It's amazing. He rides on the clouds.
Pastor Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson that examines the third of the Ten Commandments, which deals with taking the name of the Lord our God in vain. It's part of Pastor Jack's topical series, which examines all Ten Commandments, as found in Exodus and Deuteronomy. It's been a real informative and interesting series so far, don't you think? And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, recently we brought to you Pastor Jack's series, Only the Cross, in commemoration of Passion Week. But if you think about it, Only the Cross is a series of messages that really is important every day of the year. That's why we're offering Pastor Jack's series, Only the Cross, in a 4-DVD set for your tax-deductible contribution to Real Radio of any amount. Whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name. Only the Cross in a 4-DVD set. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and you'll know right where to point and click. It's real easy. RealRadioactive.org. Our telephone number is 1-877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at RealRadioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. And Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.